Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, December the 11th, 1983.
Lift up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the forgotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come unto the world, and men here love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hath the light, neither cometh to the light, but the deed should be reproved. For he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We are so thankful that we can be here in the house of the Lord today, and I have a few words. I don't know how many of you that early in the morning when you first get up, what are some of the first things you do before breakfast? I've made it a point to write a little thought for the day before I go to breakfast. I've been doing that for about a year or so. I have one here today I want to read. This thought for today says, from the portals of glory in heaven, on the wings of a dove, to the heart of the people, come the wonderful spirit of love. That's one little thought. We haven't got time to. I have several more, but not time to read them. Today, let us go to prayer. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for this day. We know that you have made this day, Lord, that we should come into the house of the Lord and worship in spirit and in truth. We're so thankful today that we can know that your love is so great that you can comfort and love and give the ones that are in trouble and sickness and sorrow and death, you can give them a peace of mind which passes all understanding. Lord, we're so thankful for this day, and we know that you would be with us here this day, Lord, and we pray for the wonderful words of Christ when he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We know, Lord, that you are the only hope, and the only hope is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
On the last stanza today, the choir will be going down to their seats. Let's stand, please, as we sing. All four stanzas. we want to look at some reasons why the Lord came. Why did Jesus come in the first place? Why did Jesus leave the singing in heaven and come down here to the side on this earth? I know each of us are thankful today for Jesus' first coming. And my prayer is that every one of us are looking forward to His second coming. And a verse I've given here many times, 1 John 2:28 says, I thought of this verse in the message we had at the funeral, but I didn't give it. This is a wonderful verse. It says, And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Jesus did come, and He went away, and He's been gone almost 2,000 years. But friends, just as sure as He went to heaven, someday He's going to descend from heaven. And I'm grateful today for what is in store for us. There are many verses in the Bible that tells why Jesus came. And one of the most familiar and one of the most wonderful verses in the lids of God's Word is John 3:16. I believe that we know this verse backwards and forwards, and many times it loses its meaning. But today I want us to quote John 3:16 together. All right? You help me. I want you to quote it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a verse. Jesus said that verse to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Thank God for Jesus coming. Have you ever wondered what this world would be like if Jesus had not come? Jesus had not come in the first place. I want us to be thankful afresh today for His coming. You know, there is John 3:16, and there is also 1 John 3:16. I gave this extra verse to the senior citizens this past Tuesday. You know what 1 John 3:16 says? Over in the back of the Bible. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Isn't that a wonderful verse? God's love was wrapped up in that precious Son that was born there in Bethlehem of Judea years ago. A close friend of Handel's. Many of you have heard of Handel's Messiah, the Messiah Chorus. Hallelujah Chorus is in the Handel's Messiah. A close friend of this man called on him just as he was setting music to the words, He was despised and rejected me in a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And Handel was so overcome that he was sobbing. He was crying. So greatly had this passage there in Isaiah 53 touched his heart. It had affected him. How does Jesus coming and His death on the cross affect us? Why did Jesus come? First of all, we find a reason in John 3:16. It says, Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a wonderful reason why Jesus came. He came that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. Fanny Crosby, that blind poet who wrote so many wonderful songs,
She wrote a song that says, "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Lift them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save." Friends, I want to say upon the authority of God's Word today, everyone who does not know Jesus today is perishing. They're perishing. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. 2 Peter 3:9 says it like this, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Our lesson in church training last Sunday night was on repentance. Coming to the Lord. It's God's will today that no one perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isaiah 53:6 starts with all and ends with all. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," on Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." Jesus came, friends, that we would not perish, that we'd have everlasting life. Are you perishing? Are we concerned as a church, as individual Christians, for those out there who are hanging on to life by one breath? Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. It's God's will that you not perish, but that you have everlasting life. Paul said in Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Those are the only ones today who are not perishing. Those who are in Christ Jesus. In John 3:17-18, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be what? Saved. Might be saved." It's God's will that we not perish, but that we have everlasting life. And then Jesus went on and said, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Friends, light has come into the world. The angels there on the Bethlehem hillside said, "Glory to God in the highest on earth. Peace, goodwill toward men." Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." It's God's will you not perish. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there be as find it. You're perishing today, friend, if you don't know Jesus. If you have never trusted Him as your personal Savior and Lord, you're perishing. And we need to rescue the perishing, as Fanny Crosby said in her song. A second reason why Jesus came is found in Luke 19 and verse 10. Jesus had just met a little short fellow by the name of Zacchaeus. You all know the story there. Climbed up in the sycamore tree. Their bus driver stopped the bus, and our guide said to us, right over there is the Zacchaeus tree, just outside of Jericho. The Bible does say in Luke 19 that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Zacchaeus ran before, climbed up the tree. Jesus came there and said, Zacchaeus, come down, I'm going home with you today. And then in verse 10, Jesus said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost. Have you ever been lost? Physically? Have you? But I want to hurry along and say this. If you don't know the Lord today, you're lost right now. You're lost. And friend, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. The lost. I know of no better condition to be in today than saved. I know today of no worse condition to be in than lost. Without a Savior. Without hope. Thank God there is hope in the Lord. A third reason that Jesus came, not only to give us everlasting life so we'd not perish, not only to seek and to save the lost, but Jesus came that we might live through Him. Live through Him. 1 John 4, 9 and 10, it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. The Bible even says that it is in Him that we live and move and have our being. That was my dad. One of my dad's favorite verses. One of the favorite verses my dad had in his preaching. It's in Him we live and move and have our being. Thank the Lord that we live through Him. That we might live through Him. Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the perpetuation for our sins. And then Jesus said in John 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus came that we might live through Him. Thank God for His abundant life that He's given to us. There is no real living today without Jesus. Tom and Fred sang a song here a few Sundays ago. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I surely would fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Do you wish today to really live? I would encourage you to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Invite you today to the banquet of salvation. He says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Our choir sang Friday a song that I dearly love. It is well with my soul. It's well with my soul. It may not be well sometimes with our body, but I know this, friends, it can be well with our soul. Jesus said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Rest for your soul. Also, Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law. A few months ago, we had a Sunday school lesson on the two covenants. The one at Sinai and the one at Calvary. Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law. over in Galatians, the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse, it says this: Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And that's in Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 23. Paul refers back to the Old Testament there. Who hung on a tree? Jesus did. Friend, Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for us. In Galatians 4 or 5, a verse we had in the message last Sunday, it says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The Lord came to redeem us, to buy us back. He is the only one that could bridge the gap between God and man. And Jesus came. What a job He did. He lived here on this earth without committing one sin. He was sinless. And there on that cross of Calvary, there was the sinless one dying for the sinful ones. He was sinless. He died there, taking our sin in His own body there on the tree. I love Galatians 5:1. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. You know, the law condemns. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And Jesus came along, and He said, thou shalt. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hangs all the law and the prophets. The law condemns, but grace restores. We need to stand fast today in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There's two or three wonderful verses over here in Romans chapter 8. Message for today. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, friends, today Jesus came that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came that we might live, not just exist. He came that we might live through Him. And fourth, He came to redeem us from the curse of the law. What a Savior. No wonder Brother Earl's mom loved that song. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Someone wrote a song. I don't know the name of it, but here's some words in it. It says, hallelujah, what a Savior. Who could take a poor, lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting, glory, glory, glory. Jesus came and rescued me. Aren't you glad Jesus came? We get a thing in the mail about once every 3 months from the Friends of Israel. And recently we got this poem. It's backed up by Scripture. It's entitled, Mary Had the Little Lamb. Mary had the little lamb who lived before his birth. Self-existent Son of God, from heaven he came to earth. Mary had the little lamb. See him in yonder stall. Virgin-born Son of God to save man from the fall. Mary had the little lamb, obedient Son of God. Everywhere the Father led, his feet were sure to trod. Mary had the little lamb, crucified on the tree. The rejected Son of God, he died to set men free. Mary had the little lamb. Men placed him in the grave, thinking they were done with him. To death he was no slave. Mary had the little lamb, ascended, now is he. All work on earth is ended, our advocate to be. Mary had the little lamb, mystery to behold. From the Lamb of Calvary, a line will unfold. When the day star comes again, of this be very sure. It won't be the lamb-like silence, but with the lion's roar. The Lord came the first time as a lamb. He's coming the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Talked about in Revelation. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Have you accepted Jesus in your life? I know of no better Christmas present to give anyone than to give them our life. Give Jesus your life, your heart. You'll never be sorry. Father, we look to Thee this morning. We know You're able to strengthen and bless each one who is in this service. Father, we pray right now for those who may be here and lost, who have never come to Jesus. Father, speak to their hearts today during this invitation. May we see precious souls drawn to Thee, Lord. We pray for those in our community who are lost. Many we're praying for that have never tasted to see the Lord is gracious. Pray You'd speak to each one of them, Father, and speak to each person here this morning in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'd like to turn to 342 and sing our song of invitation. 342, have thine own way, Lord. If you've never come to the Lord, there's no better time than on this Sunday morning. God bless as we sing 342.
Oh,
Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." The second stanza said, "Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord. Wash me just now." The Lord's able to do that. But we have to be willing to come to Him to be washed. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let's sing this last stanza, please. That'll be our prayer this week. We'll be willing to let Him be the potter. And we're the clay. We should not rebel against the potter. He knows what He's doing. He's molding us and making us after His will. Don't forget play practice this afternoon at 3. Hopefully everyone can be here today that's in the play, because we don't have much long to practice now. Next Sunday night is our Christmas play is going to be given. Two Nights Before Christmas is the name of it. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. We appreciate those who are working with the young people and helping them to get ready for this. Let's have a closing prayer, please. Father, we thank Thee today that You have allowed each one of us to be here in Your house of worship. Lord, we thank Thee for all that You have done for us. We thank Thee most of all for salvation. Thank Thee that we have known Thee these years, and Father, we know that someday each one of us who know Thee are going to be with Thee. We thank Thee for this great promise. Someday Jesus is going to come and take us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. Dismiss each one of us, Lord, and give us journeying mercies to our homes. And we thank Thee for all You're going to do. Bring us back tonight to fellowship with Thee around the Word of God again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.